Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Warren. It's another Spectrum show, and today we have Jeff Baylor, who is here. He is the Northeast Regional Director for Census 2020.
Yes, sir.
And we're gonna act like we don't know anything. We're going to let you enlighten us over the next however much time we have together here today. Census 2020, I think most Americans are aware of the fact that every 10 years we count heads. Census 2020 is probably, since it's been 10 years since the last one, will be probably the most technological census that has ever happened. Give us a little bit about, first let's get to know you a little better. What's your background?
Sure. So again, with Jeff Baylor with the New York region, it's one of six regions we have across the country. So we're responsible for New Jersey all the way up to Maine, everything in between in Puerto Rico. This will be my third census. I live in Robbinsville, New Jersey with my wife and two daughters, and we have an amazing team here in New York City where our headquarters is kind of located for our region. It just amazing partners and groups that we're working with getting ready for the 2020 census.
Now, for the people who are not enlightened, the Census Bureau also does other surveys. Interim between the 10-year cycles, correct?
That's correct. So last Friday, the unemployment rate came out. First Friday of every month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the unemployment rate. We collect that data for the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Consumer Price Index, Housing Starts, the American Community Survey. We are out there every day of every month of every year knocking on doors for about 15 to 20 different surveys or operations that we're conducting.
Yeah, because I'm concerned. I guess some people might be concerned that how can you assemble such a large group of people for a one-time deal, yeah. But you really have people in place all the time.
We do. We have a staff of about 2,000 in our region that are knocking on doors every day. When the census rolls around, that'll grow to over 150,000. So we create the foundation, and then we just all at once add a whole bunch to it.
Officially, April 1st, April Fool's Day, no less, mm-hmm. is called Census Day, and that's sort of where everybody gets counted in place on that date.
Correct.
What has been the run-up to this year? What has been the things you've been working on to get ready for April 1st, 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, Census Day is kind of a reference point. So when we take the census, we're taking a snapshot in time. So whether you fill out your form, you know, mid-March of 2020 or where you fill it out in July, we're asking you about the status of your address, everyone who lived there as of April 1st, 2020. So over this year and throughout the decade, we've been building up our address list to make sure we have the most accurate and robust address list so that when we invite people to go online, everyone's getting that invitation. We conducted our first field operation, which is called address canvassing. In those areas where we maybe don't have good administrative records or good data, we send people out there on the ground and say, walk this block and tell us what you see and compare it to what we have on our address list. So add to that to make sure, again, that everyone gets that invitation when it's sent out next March.
I'm sure that could be a yeoman job because the population continues to shift in many cases from urban to suburban to rural and back again.
Absolutely.
And some cities have lost tons of people. Other places have grown by leaps and bounds. Yeah. Keeping up with all that must be a chore.
It is. It's very difficult throughout the decade, but again, we have wonderful partners. In the year ending in 6 and 7, we actually send out our address list to state governments, to local governments, and they have the opportunity to provide updates to us, which is a huge help because we know at the lower level geographies, the county, the city governments, they have wonderful records on housing units, or if a new apartment building's been built, they know the unit designations. So all throughout the census, throughout the decade, it's really our partners who are a huge help to ensuring that the 2020 census will be a success.
And considering partners, which you just mentioned that word, you have this complete count committee mm-hmm. Subgroup, I guess, that you work with. Tell us how that has worked and how you've deputize those folks.
Yeah, so complete count committees are just groups of people over, it may be a geography, it could be a county complete count committee, it could be a, we have statewide complete count committees, neighborhoods, community boards have all started complete count committees. It could be a church, it could be a building that starts their own complete count committee. It's a group of individuals who understand the challenges in getting a complete and accurate count, and then work with the Bureau to determine what's the right messaging. What will motivate those people to respond to the upcoming census? And then how do we get that message to them? Who's the trusted voice? Is there a certain radio station or newspaper we need to work with to get the message out that the census is safe, how easy it'll be this time around, and how important it is to the community?
You mentioned safety, and I'm sure that is something that is of concern to immigrant communities. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the barriers of the data that's collected so it doesn't get into the wrong hands.
Absolutely. So the legal speak is Title 13 is the official law that was put in place in 1954 that basically protects every piece of data we collect. The data we collect can never be used against an individual for harm. So local, state, federal law enforcement agencies can never access our data at any time for any reason. Homeland Security and ICE can never access our data at any time for any reason. Patriot Act does not supersede Title 13. Title 13 is basically saying we cannot release data that could potentially identify an individual or a household. We've been challenged in federal courts numerous times over the past 7 decades since this law was put in place, and we have won every time. In addition, everyone who works on a census, whether this will be my third, if you work one of our short-term operations that only runs about 4 weeks, you take an oath of confidentiality for life. Meaning if I were to release information that could potentially identify an individual or a household, I could be imprisoned for up to 5 years, fined up to $250,000. So the public's trust is the foundation of a census.
Sure.
We have to have their trust. So we take that seriously.
And the information actually is really statistical information. It's not information like names and social security numbers and credit cards and all that. The information is really for the numbers.
It really
not
is.
Not for information about the people.
That's absolutely correct. Now, we do ask for name only because it's easier if we have to follow up or we have to do matching to make sure we're not counting people twice or three times. But all we're going to ask for is your name, your age and your date of birth, your race and ethnicity, whether or not you're of Hispanic origin. And then we'll ask for your gender, whether you own or rent your home, and then your relationship to the first person on the form, mother, father, son, daughter, roommate. That's it. We never ask for bank or credit card information. We never ask for social security numbers, and we never ask for money.
That's always really nice when people don't ask for,
that's right.
for anything, but particularly money. You've got language issues because of the diversity in the United States. And how are you addressing that?
Yeah, so for the first time ever, of course, we'll be collecting. One of the ways you can participate in the census is complete your form online. That's very new. First time ever you can go online and fill out your census form. In addition, this will be the first time that a household could call us and give us their information over the phone. We've always had toll-free telephone support, but we've never collected data over the phone. And it's important to note that we're not calling households, but a household can call us.
Yeah.
So how that ties into languages is both online and over the phone will be available in English and 12 non-English languages. So online, you'll just hit a toggle if you want to go from Polish to Chinese to Russian. To fill out your census form online, you can do that. We will have a dedicated phone number for each one of those languages so that when you call that Polish line, let's say, someone who speaks Polish will pick up the phone and immediately converse with you in that native language, answer your questions, and then if you want to respond and give your information over the phone, you can do that.
And for our Chinese listeners, which would be about 99% of our listenership, Mandarin and Cantonese are the two major languages. Now, the first wave is going to be a mail piece.
That's correct.
And how and when is that going to happen?
Yep. So we'll start mailing out information packets, inviting people to go online or to call it in over the phone the week of March 12th. So that's really when the census counting begins. So when you get your mail, you'll have a URL, you'll have your census ID, which is just it's a 12-digit unique identifier that takes place of your address. So when you go online, you key in that 12-digit ID, you're good to go. If you happen to lose it or you don't have it with you when you complete your form, that's fine. You'll have to key in your address. That's the only difference. Yeah. So we'll do a total of 5 mail-outs. And beginning in mid-May of 2020, if address has yet to respond to the census, so they didn't go online, they didn't call it in over the phone, they received a paper form in the mail, but they didn't fill it out and mail it back in. So starting in mid-May of 2020, we will start knocking on those doors, trying to collect that very same information. And it won't be too late for people still to self-respond. So people can continue to go online, call it in over the phone. When they get their paper form, they can mail it out all the way through the end of July.
I was curious about the logistics of the door-to-door. That sounds pretty easy when you're in an urban area and you can hit 1,000 people in a block. But your territory, and of course every part of the United States, has got, as my friend Bill Anderson would say, a lot of dirt between the light bulbs in some parts of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's important when we're recruiting, and we're right in the midst of our recruiting campaign right now, that we're recruiting people locally. We want to hire people to work in their own communities. So we're in that rural community. We have people who have cars or trucks who are able to drive from address to address, whatever's in their particular assignment. And same with the city. People who are comfortable jumping on mass transit if they need to, or they know the block in which they're working. They know the people who live there. They speak the language. They understand the culture. That's what makes a census successful, is really trying to get it as localized as we can, both with the messaging and then when we do have to hire people, to make sure they understand the challenges in that particular community.
Our guest this week on Spectrum is Jeff Baylor. Jeff is the regional director of the U.S. Census Bureau out of the New York region, covering most of the Northeast. And Jeff has got so many fascinating things to talk to us about with the census looming in the year 2020 that we'll continue this program next week. So listen again, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll stick around and finish this up, part two, next week on Spectrum, same time on China America Radio.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.